This is station PCJ of Philips Radio, broadcasting on 31 meters, our weekly Friday program, which only lasts for 60 minutes.
Estación de la Alegría, The Happy Station Show. Hello, 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 and welcome again to another edition of the International Happy Station Show with me, Keith Parent, coming to you from Taipei, Taiwan, for listeners in North America and the Caribbean on shortwave on 9,955 kilohertz in the 31-meter band. And of course, this program is being streamed live on the internet via WRMI at WRMI.net. So if you're out of that area, you can still catch us as the program is being streamed as well. Well, it's really nice to have you with me for the next 55 minutes because we have a packed program today. Yes, an absolutely packed program today. We're going to be joined in a little bit later on in the show from someone who is one of the organizers of the SWL Fest in Culpsville, Pennsylvania. So stay tuned for that. Now, of course, those who are listening to shortwave right now know all about the festival, but we can give you, you could say, a little teaser about what is coming up. And if you're just, you know, newly informed about it, you can find out a little bit about its history and what the festival does. So, you know, stay tuned for that coming up in just a moment. A while ago, somebody wrote in saying, you know, we're in Taiwan, so why don't I play some Chinese music on the show? Because many of you are not so familiar with it. So we're going to do that from time to time. But I thought we'd play something a little unusual today. Something that you would not expect to come from Taiwan. And what is that? Swing and big band music. Yes! I know that sounds very strange. You would think, you know, like Peking opera or Chinese opera or something like that. But there, in fact, was a lot of swing and a lot of jazz and a lot of big band music produced in Taiwan in the 1950s and 1960s. One of the big stars, not just here in Taiwan, but also in Hong Kong, is a singer by the name of Ge Lan. Now, she has an interesting history because she was originally born in Beijing And her family came to Taiwan in 1949, just at the end of the civil war that was going on in China. Her family came here with the KMT, which is the Kuomintang, the political party after Chiang Kai-shek lost the battle against Mao Zedong. But that's a whole different thing, and we don't want to talk about politics. Anyway, they came here to Taiwan. In Beijing, she was trained as a classical musician to sing classical music as well as traditional Peking opera. But she didn't want to do that. She wanted to go on a completely different path. So, in the early 1950s, she went to Hong Kong. She got a record contract, and she started singing big band music. She was in over 100 films. In fact, she even recorded an album in Hollywood, California, and in the late 1950s made regular appearances on TV shows like The Dinah Shore Show, The Frank Sinatra Show that was on ABC, sponsored by Timex, The Danny Kaye Show, and many, many others. And you're thinking, Chinese swing music, big band music, ooh, strange. Yeah, it is. But her name is Ge Lan. She's still alive today. And the song we're going to take a listen to was a big hit for the Ames Brothers. It was called Ragmop. But, of course, there's no translation for Ragmop into Chinese. Well, there is a translation, but the the meaning is totally different. So, of course, she took that song, same music, but they had different lyrics written. In Chinese, the song is called Wo Ai Ni, meaning I love you. So here's Ge Lan, recorded in the mid-1950s, I suspect, with Ragmop, otherwise known in Chinese as Wo Ai Ni, which means I love you, beginning today's International Happy Station.
Oh,
And there you have it, some big band swing music from Taiwan. Her name is Ge Lan, the name that was used when she made appearances on American television in the 1950s was Grace Chang, and she was singing a song called Wo Ai Ni, which translates into English called I Love You. And some of you are wondering, wait a second, I know that melody. Well, you should know the melody. The melody is the Ragmop song that was a hit for the Ames Brothers. You're listening to the International Happy Station, and, you know, a while ago, you may have heard me complaining that it was rainy and cold and everything. And we had spring, which lasted nothing more than 2 weeks. Yeah, it was like you wake up in the morning, there's spring. You wake up the next day, it's all over, you know. And spring is beautiful here. But winter is kind of blech because of the rain and the cold. And it's not cold like some of you are experiencing of like -5 degrees and stuff like that and snow. But it just rains a lot. And with the cold and the rain, especially the rain, 13 degrees centigrade seems like a lot colder. But we're now going into summer, and I kid you not when I say that we went from being 13 windy and rainy to 29 degrees over literally overnight, you know. And I actually used the air conditioning for the first time a couple of days ago. So now we're back into the summer season, which also means hurricane season. And we had a thunder shower 2 days ago, which damaged one of my antennas for my receivers. And I was inside and I heard kaflumph above my head. And I went, uh-oh, I wonder what has happened. And it's going to be the second time in 12 months that I've lost one antenna. Not literally lost, like it blew away. What almost did, I was kind of lucky that it didn't, but it did cause a number of damage, not just to that antenna, but the one that was next to it. So my weekend, this coming weekend, I will be fixing that, yes. But other people involved in shortwave as a hobby will be doing something else, and that is they'll be attending a listeners festival in the U.S. state of Pennsylvania, which I will tell you about in just one moment, but now time for a little bit more music before we do that. Here's Brooke Benton and Dinah Washington with Baby, You've Got What It Takes on the International Happy Station.
Well, now it takes more than a robin to make the weather go, and it takes two lips of fire to melt away the snow.
Well, it takes two hearts of cooking to make a fire grow. And baby, you've got what it takes.
Yeah.
You know it takes a lot of kissing.
Tell me about it.
To make a romance sweet. Ooh, it takes a lot of
knock me off my feet. And baby, you've got what it takes.
I said,
you know you've got just what it takes, because it takes more than an effort to stay away from you. It takes more than a lifetime to prove that I'll be true.
But it takes somebody special to make me say I do.
Oh, yeah.
And baby, you've got what it takes.
Because it, yeah,
takes more,
oh
than
yeah,
go ahead, my spot again, honey,
I like your spot.
To stay away from you.
I can't.
tapes.
Say it again.
Yeah, come on, let's do it one more time. All right?
And baby, you've got what it takes.
One more time, bro.
Brooke Benton and Dinah Washington with Baby, You've Got What It Takes on the International Happy Station. Well, beginning March 5th, which is Friday and Saturday, shortwave listeners from across North America and some as well from overseas will be attending the Winter Shortwave Listeners Fest in Culpeperson, Pennsylvania, which has been going now for over 20 years. And it's an interesting festival. I myself have never attended, but I have met people that have and have talked to people that have. And they say, you know, it's one of those things, if you love radio, it is the must for any festival in North America. I was actually invited to attend this year from Marianne, who listens to the show. She was helping the organizers with it, but I wasn't able to attend. So hopefully next year I will do so. And I plan to attend next year, either in person or via new technology. But anyway, the new festival is going to be happening for 2 days in Culpeperson, Pennsylvania. They have an interesting history. There's so many interesting topics that take place at the festival, and it really makes me want to attend, you know. And for those who are not aware of what the festival is, well, it's about shortwave radio and all other forms of radio. But to look at it at more in depth, I decided to get in touch with Richard Cuff. And Richard is one of the organizers, along with John Figliozzi, who's like who's who of shortwave radio and knows it all and everything else, to talk actually about the history and what is expected at this year's festival. So my first question to Richard, because before we talk about what's happening this year, we have to talk a bit about its history. So that was my first question posed to him.
The idea came up in the registration line for one of the NR conventions many years ago. I think it was in Miami, when a couple guys, Bob Brown and Harold Cones, who many people know as Dr. DX, those two guys were just standing online in the summertime and saying, you know, we need a gathering like this during the winter. It's just, too long to go between gatherings of radio enthusiasts. And so that conversation really is what hatched the notion of the SWL Fest. And then their friend Chris Field, who happens to be from the Philadelphia area, as is Bob, they just kind of then the three of them put the very first fest together 23 odd years ago. They really didn't know what to expect. They just kind of put it out there. It was 1 day long, held at a motel of questionable quality and distinction. There was a ice storm in process over the weekend. The hotel's roof leaked, and there was a shooting at the motel's restaurant elsewhere from where they were having their gathering. The banquet at the time consisted of pizzas they brought in from a local pizzeria. So it was a real humble beginning 23 years ago. But since that time, we've really the fest has managed to continue. I think because it blends, you know, education and subject matter that people can learn from, but there's a lot of free time and opportunity just to kind of sit around and talk about radio.
Now, over the years, has the festival changed very much? I mean, the way you described the first one, it sounds like it's changed a lot. But, I mean, let's say compared to 5 years ago or 10 years ago, have there been many changes in the way the festival is focused, or even the focus of the festival itself?
I mean, there's sort of a two-part answer to that question. The first part of the answer is that in terms of the basic structure of the fest and how we do things and how we blend the mix of social time versus the banquet and the traditions and the forums themselves, no, there really hasn't been much change at all over the years. What has changed, though, and your question is leading to this, is that we've indeed changed some of the focus on relevant technologies. We still call it the SWL Fest, but really, probably a third of the content deals with technologies other than traditional shortwave listening, because, you know, the technologies both have come along to augment the hobby as well as, you know, in some ways replace aspects of shortwave themselves. So, we've kind of tried to mix the content to keep it relevant to the way people participate and listen to international broadcasting nowadays. And we've also tried to incorporate enough history and recognition of some of the past aspects of the hobby to recognize some of the history and tradition that radio itself has.
Now, with international shortwave listening, and of course, I mean, it's no surprise. Everybody knows that there's been especially a big decline after the collapse of communism in Eastern Europe and the collapse of the Soviet Union. But yet it's one of those technologies from what I see that it hasn't gone away yet. It's still there. And it's almost sort of, it's going through, some people would say, a transition period, going from being, for the use of propaganda by governments like the former Soviet Union or countries in the Eastern Bloc, and going towards a new direction and hopefully being able to incorporate what you just mentioned, the new technologies out there, such as DRM, if it ever catches on one day. But there definitely seems to be still a lot of interest. Now, Richard, I'm just curious about something, because, you know, the thing that I just mentioned about people talk about the decline of shortwave, but yet when I check out shortwave radios for sale, I'm still amazed at how much product is out there.
Yep, there certainly are, you know, a variety of radios. And I think one of the things you see is that we have to look at shortwave. One ought to look at shortwave in the fact that there are different users being served, and there are different needs that the audience has based on where they're located and what their individual situations happen to be. For instance, there aren't that many truly high-end DX receivers manufactured anymore. We don't have the Drake R8B anymore, for example. There is a tradition of high-end radios which really isn't what it used to be, but there has been a substantial growth and maturing in radios that are less pricey but have much of the functionality that used to be reserved for high-end radios. One can do things, for instance, with the Eaton E1 shortwave receiver that really puts it in serious competition with table radios that used to cost twice as much or more. At the low end, especially coming out of the Far East, there are a tremendous number of digitally tuned, capable radios that can make it easy for people with less financial resources than those of us in the developed world to listen to shortwave. So it really, you have to look at shortwave through very much a geographic and an economic lens as well.
With the Shortwave Listeners Festival, do you find it challenging to get new people involved? People who may not know about shortwave, but say, you know, come and check us out, and then they find out about it, and then they find it interesting. Is that challenging? More challenging now than say it was?
I think that's the answer. General answer would be yes. There just aren't as many people picking up the hobby as there used to be, especially amongst the young. One look at the traditional demographic of the fest will certainly verify that. But one of the areas that seems to capture the fancy of young people is pirate radio, unlicensed broadcasting. And you look at those who are, say, younger than age 40 that come to the fest, that seems to be the area that draws them into the hobby, is the creativity and just the aspects of free radio or pirate radio, things like that. So that is one area that still seems to very much draw in younger people. And what we try to do is, many of us do participate in some of these newer technologies like Wi-Fi radios, and we'll mention the SWL Fest to folks interested and fond of those technologies to suggest that, hey, if you like radio, if you like what radio brings, it creates the theater of the mind and all about the diversity of programming and what's on offer, then you might find yourself interested in the fest. So we try to appeal to folks with interests that are related to shortwave, but shortwave might not be the first thing they think of when it comes to how they enjoy radio and audio.
But wouldn't you say that one of the areas that could be focused on to get more interest in shortwave is the fact that there's shortwave listening now in my part of the world is a lot easier than, let's say, it was 20 years ago because of the new technology, because of the receivers. If the idea was to promote, okay, we have the new technology, but at the same time we can incorporate the old technology, i.e. shortwave, into the new technology.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. I mean, for instance, one of the sessions we have coming up is all about, for instance, how one can use netbook computing, smartphones, aspects like that, and how we can use that to augment listening. There's also, for instance, looking at technologies such as the Global Tuner Network and how one can use the principles of shortwave combined with the principles of the internet to listen to radio stations using shortwave, but through other technologies. You know, and we still do a lot to just celebrate radio and the art of creating radio as well. So I think there are some different aspects where we try to create interest and demonstrate how shortwave complements some of these other technologies. Yeah, and I think nearly everyone that I know that both uses web technologies, webcast, Wi-Fi radios, etc., still nonetheless there's something special about tuning a shortwave radio digitally, analog, however, and just seeing what's out there and recognizing that what you might find in one evening might differ from what's out there the next evening.
That's actually one of the things that I've always found fascinating about it. Even, I mean, just before we recorded this interview, I was listening to VOA News Now, and the Voice of America here in Taiwan comes in as clear as a local AM station on 11705 kilohertz. And then just before, as I was listening to something, I was tuned to something else, and I picked up, of all things, which I haven't heard in a long time, a medium wave station coming in from Hawaii, because we get a few of the medium wave stations from Hawaii rather clear here, which I but they sort of change all the time. Now, in the U.S., you just mentioned a moment ago that, you know, the amount of shortwave stations that you can hear is definitely not the same as it was 20 years ago. A lot of the big broadcasters like BBC World Service, Radio Nederland, have stopped broadcasting to North America. But because of the way shortwave is, with the signal bouncing up to the ionosphere and bouncing back down to Earth, is it still easy to let's say, pick up BBC or Radio Netherlands transmissions, let's say, beamed to Africa or to other parts of the world?
I think it depends both on one's patience, one's skills in tuning a receiver, as well as the luck of propagation. With the suppressed sunspot numbers currently plaguing the environment, it's making the BBC tougher than it used to be. I was on a de-expedition just this past weekend with a couple of guys, though, and found that the Africa services that generally come up about 0300 UTC were reasonably good in terms of their audio quality. So it really does vary based on what the conditions are and the time of day one is available, and as well as knowing where to tune. But it's not like you characterize the VOA anymore, far from it, for broadcasters like the BBC.
So if you were, let's say, at this very moment to tune on your shortwave receiver, what stations would you be able to pick up rather clearly?
I think if as I look actually at my log from listening the other night, at this hour, one would be able to hear Romania. Radio Romania International has an English language hour coming up actually at 8 o'clock local time or 0100 UTC. The Voice of Russia World Service is very easy to hear in North America. Radio Prague, Radio Havana, Cuba is still quite easy to hear. Radio Canada and International can be, although even sometimes here in eastern Pennsylvania, they're subject to propagation issues that can render them a more difficult listen than one would otherwise expect. Those are just examples that come top of mind. Radio Vatican Radio comes in pretty easily, you know. And then you have all of the stations that are based in the USA or nearby that target a global audience, like the WEWN, the Eternal Word Network. That is the Catholic, evangelical Catholic activity. The services like WWCR, WWRB, that are essentially brokered time and or religious stations. They're generally easy to hear. WHRI, religious programming. So it's kind of that mix of stations, primarily the Europeans, at least in local evenings, and then the domestic stations here targeting an international audience. You know, in the morning, then it's different. Then we get better trans-Pacific propagation, so we're able to hear Radio Australia and Radio New Zealand International in local mornings by comparison. During the summer, we can get Radio Australia in the evening, but not this time of the year.
This year, the festival, what are some of the forums that are taking place?
This year we've got, I think, an interesting combination. I think one of the highlights for us is a session that Robert Kipp will be leading on the Radio St. Helena project. Robert will be discussing his activities there and kind of providing a travel log of his trip, where he went to the Ascension Island location of the BBC World Service Relay, and then a little bit of sightseeing at St. Helena itself, and just the activities that he helps to coordinate for Radio St. Helena Day. So that's one of the I think the key sessions we're doing this year. An author named Lisa Spar, who has written a book called World War II Radio Heroes, Letters of Compassion, has written a book about the Shortwave Amateur Monitors Club that chronicles more than 60 shortwave listeners that were active in the Second World War to assist in communications. And Lisa wrote a book about how shortwave technology was used for communications, and she'll be talking about her book, and that's kind of neat. A couple of sessions we always have include free radio or pirate broadcasting, we have long had a fest session on that. It's one of the most popular sessions every year, as well as scanning and VHF radio. That is, while not directly, of course, related to shortwave listening, scanning has always been something that we've covered over the course of the fest. And one of the traditions of the fest are that we call the guys who are enthusiast in scanning. We call them scanner scum, and it's just one of those pejorative nicknames that was applied probably 22 years ago, and that's stuck ever since. Radio Free Asia, which broadcasts towards your part of the world, is going to be doing a session that talks about some of the work they're doing in terms of their frequencies, their QSLing, and just about what Radio Free Asia is all about and what it's trying to do. I mentioned the session on netbooks, smartphones, and other aspects of new kind of form factor technology tools and what they can help the listener do. The other highlight is something that we call the Shortwave Shindig. In the years past, we've called it the Listening Lounge, and it really is a sort of a celebration of the sounds of years past, and it's everything from shortwave from Brazil, Bolivia, and Peru to audio memorials for radio pioneers, and just different aspects of radio, generally with a shortwave theme that kind of celebrates the 80-plus year heritage that that shortwave radio enjoys. So that's just a sampling of some of the sessions that'll be happening on Friday, March 5th and Saturday, March 6th.
When you organize this festival, I mean, how much planning goes into it? Do you start the planning? I mean, after this festival is done, do you start planning for next year's, or is it just a few months in advance?
Using the word organize in respect to the Shortwave Listeners Festival is something we try to discourage because one of the things that makes the fest work is that we honestly try not to take it or take ourselves too seriously. We tend to get started in serious planning on or about September or October. And what we'll do is at that time we'll just get in touch with folks that have presented in years past. We keep a mailing list, an email list of people that have attended past winter SWL fests. And so we essentially invite people to develop suggestions for presentations. And generally speaking, what we tell people is that if you're interested in a particular topic, be prepared to present it then. And so we generally, over the course of September, October, begin to get people talking about some possible topics, and then it just gradually gels over the period of time of October through, you know, say, late January. Generally, by about the 1st of February, we're pretty much set with what the list of forums is going to be. And then really everything else we do in the connection of the fest is pretty standard from year to year. Normally during the early February timeframe, John Figliozzi and I will chat about what the prize table should look like and what our prize budget is, what interesting radios have been launched over the year. We get in touch with some of the hobby vendors and radio suppliers and invite them to help us with the fest, and we're generally very privileged and pleased with their ability to help us out in that regard. We are blessed by having a group of volunteers that handles everything from setting up antennas to keeping an eye on soft drinks and refreshments to selling raffle tickets. So, you know, all these things just sort of fall into place as the fest approaches and begins.
Who are some of the manufacturers that will be there this year?
In terms of manufacturers, what we don't have anyone this year physically representing a manufacturer. We do, though, we'll be having several radios in our raffle that are being donated by Eaton Corp. You know, these are the folks that, of course, provide the Eaton line as well as the Grundig line. So there'll be like a Satellite 750 that will be part of the raffle, as well as other Grundig radios. And then vendors like Universal Radio, Grove Electronics, and C. Crane Company all provide radios at reduced cost for us, and also provide us with catalogs that then we invite fest participants to take with them over the course of the fest.
Richard, before we end off, if somebody's listening right now and they're not familiar with Shorewave, because Happy Station also airs on a number of partner stations, but they want more information about the Shorewave Listeners Fest and about Shorewave itself, is there a website?
Yep, we do have a website, and it is www.swlfest.com. That's www.swlfest.com. There you can read about the fest and its history, and the schedule or schedule of events, and information on where the fest is held. People can register still via PayPal online, and then can register in person at the hotel. The location of the hotel is also available at the fest website. And there's also links there to the fest's sponsoring organization, NASWA, the North American Shortwave Association. So you can find more links all about shortwave there at the NASWA website as well.
Richard, thanks a lot for joining us on the Happy Station Show this week.
Keith, a pleasure, and hope that you can join us sometime either in person or vicariously via technology such as Skype. So thanks very much for having us participate in the Happy Station ourselves. It's great to have the tradition of the Happy Station back available.
And I was speaking there with Richard Cuff, one of the organizers, along with John Figliozzi, about the Winter Shortwave Listeners Fest in Culpsville, Pennsylvania. And you can check out their website at www.swlfest.com. That's www.swlfest.com. You're listening to the International Happy Station. Our website is www.pcjmedia.com. And when you go to the website, you can find all kinds of information there. We've just added a few more things, as well as you can listen to PCJ Radio. At the moment, it's a four-hour rotation. Coming up very soon will be longer. And next week, we are adding another new show called Finally Friday with Neil Hendrixa, and the show will come to us from South Africa. We haven't officially launched the online stream yet, but that will come later on. All right, now time for more music. Let's take a listen to Madonna with Love Profusion on the International Happy Station.
There are too many questions. There is not one solution. There is no resurrection. There is so much confusion. And the love profusion, you make me feel, you make me know. And the love vibration, you make me feel, you make it shine. There are too many options. There is no consolation. I have lost my illusions. What I want is an explanation. Skin, I got you under my skin. I got you under my skin. I got you under my skin. There is no comprehension. There is real isolation. There is so much destruction. What I want is a celebration. And I know skin. I got you under my skin. I got you under my skin. I got you under my skin. You made me feel, you made me know, and love.
Love Profusion, Madonna, here on the International Happy Station. Next week is going to be a special show because it will be the anniversary of the Happy Station. Well, not the the long-running Happy Station beginning in 1927, but the anniversary of the first new show in almost 15 years. And that will be next week. And that show, by the way, will be going to all regions. So tune into that. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, we still have time to squeeze in one more piece of music. We're going to take a listen to Peter Thomas Sounds Orchestral with Happening in White on the International Happy Station.
My name's Colin Newell, and I'm the editor and creator of DXer.ca. Since the mid-90s, DXer.ca has been the go-to website for timely resources for the DXer, SWL, and broadcast listener. If you're looking for unbiased reviews of the most modern receivers and antennas, or are interested in participating in some of the more lively online forums all about radio, then come on by. DXer.ca, a world band radio website.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs, SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.
KDX World Round Radio presents The History of Happiness. In 1995, happiness was discontinued worldwide. Since that time, things have become more and more serious. Until one day, Keith Perrone and PCJ Media brought happiness back to the world, one short wave at a time. Listen for the Happy Station Show. The History of Happiness came to you from KDXradio.com.
And that, by the way, is the voice of Carl Blair, who runs KDX Radio. Check them out, kdxradio.com, and there's various times that you can hear the International Happy Station show. He runs the edition for South America and the Caribbean, as well as the edition for North America at different times. So do check it out, kdxradio.com. All right, we've almost come to the end of this edition of the show. Our website is www.pcjmedia.com, and if you go to the website, you'll find new things all the time, as well as a link to listen to PCJ Radio. The schedule at the moment for PCJ Radio includes Happy Station, the Stuff File program, Network Europe Week from Radio Netherlands, Arts on the Air from Radio Deutsche Welle, Switzerland in Sound with Bob Zanotti and Nash Hollis. And pretty soon we'll be adding another show called Finally Friday with Neil Hendrickse. And Neil is all the way in Cape Town, South Africa. I hope I'm doing the correct South African accent, my good friend. So do join us for Finally Fridays. And we're going to have an actual schedule, because at the moment we're just repeating the 4 hours after the next. But when we officially launch the channel, there will be a fixed schedule for shows and our times and everything else, and I'll announce that later on. Just a quick reminder again that next week we're going to have the Happy Station first year anniversary for the Revive show, and it's amazing. 1 year. I'm still amazed at what has taken place. So tune in next week to hear some clips from past shows, as well as some other things as well. And that's going to be next week, and that show will be airing to all regions. And also this month, we're going to have another one of Happy Station's tribute to radio shows. So find out what the details are and when that's going to air, stay tuned to us, as well as check out our website. Anyway, on behalf of everyone that helps with the Happy Station show, and I'm going to mention another name, and that is Colin Newell, who's been very helpful with the website. So thank you very much, Colin. And also thank you for doing all the IDs and jingles for Happy Station as well as PCJ Radio. So a special thank you to you. A special thank you, of course, goes out to Johan Backer, our production assistant, and Kevin Lee, our technician. So on behalf of them and everyone else, this is Keith Parent, all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, for the International Happy Station Show, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios, amigos, and sayonara.
Hi, this is Ian McFarland. If you're an SWL and feel nostalgic for the good old days of shortwave, you'll be interested in three sets of CDs that Colin Newell and I have produced. The first gives you 100 ident and interval signals from stations around the world. Then there's the foreign language recognition course that will help you identify the myriad languages that you can hear on shortwave. And the newest CD set, a look at the past 20 years in shortwave broadcasting with some of my broadcasting colleagues, and a look into the future. The proceeds from the sale of these CDs are in aid of a charity, a food bank for the less fortunate in my city of Duncan, British Columbia, in Canada. Learn more about these CDs on the dxr.ca internet website. That's dxr.ca. Good listening, everyone.